The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
We all have an Isaac in our life. And I want you to see that in Genesis 22 as we read verse 5. As you know, God has called Abraham to take Isaac to a place that he tells him to take him to. And in verse 5, we pick up that Abraham has arrived after 3 days of travel to the place where God told him to go. And it says, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, the donkey that they loaded to come, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now notice the language. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And Isaac said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And the angel said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Now, there's a lot of different rabbit trails we could go off on here. One is the fact that God was not tempting Abraham in the sense of tempting him with sin, because God, as we read in James, cannot be tempted with sin, neither tempteth he any man. So the word tempt here, in and of itself, means to try or to prove. And we should never think that in our own lives that we have trials and provings of our own faith that we have in the Lord. Sometimes those trials and those provings come to us because of things we have done or situations that we are in that are to no fault or due of our own. And then there are times whenever the Lord Himself proves us. He may allow us to remain in a situation that we are in, or He may actually do as He did with Abraham here and just feel convicted and burdened to go and do thus and such because the Lord has burdened us to do that. And that's a trial. That's a proving. Are we going to stick with what God has burdened us to do? You could see that in an example of a preacher who feels burdened to go to a particular area. I could insert my own self into that equation. You could insert other preachers that you know. You know, is that preacher, is he going to have what it takes to stick with it? That's a proving right there, is it not? And so God is proving Abraham. Now I want you to notice very importantly, because we all have our own Isaac or Isaacs in our lives. And I ask you the question, what is yours? What is yours? And I think you will find the meaning of this in the very definition of how Isaac was described. Look at verse 12. God himself says, I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Notice over in verse 2, God says, take now thy son, thine only son. And in verse 16, the Lord says, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Now the first part there, thy son, is the Hebrew word ben, B-E-N. It just means a child. But the second part there is what I want you to get. Because the definition of thine only son, the definition of that word is beloved or darling or an irreplaceable thing. And that is how God says that Abraham viewed Isaac. Now, I don't think any of us can fully understand the mindset of a 99-year-old man who it has ceased to be with him from the ability to have children. And his wife has never had the ability to have children. And at 99 years of age, the beloved child that was promised by God when he was 75, earlier in his life, the beloved child is born. Now, this child was special. There was nothing greater in the life that was more beloved to Abraham than his son Isaac. And God knows that. And did you know, child of God, that the Lord knows the things that are beloved to you in your life? Whether those things may be good things that are taken too far, or those things could be bad things that we hold as beloved or as darling or as irreplaceable in our life. What means more to you than anything in this world is basically what the Lord is saying. Go and sacrifice, go and lay upon the altar what means more to you than anything in this world. And notice the Lord said in verse 12, "You have not withheld what means more to you than anything in this world. You have not withheld your darling. You have not withheld this thing that you view as irreplaceable and beloved." The word withhold right there means to refrain or to refuse or to hold back. Something we will not lay down. The Lord knows what those things are in our lives. And do you understand that we all have them? We all have our Isaacs in our lives. And the Lord knows exactly what yours is. And He knows exactly what mine is. And He calls upon us to lay those things down on the altar of His love. Just as He called upon Abraham to lay his only beloved son down upon the altar and sacrifice him. This is not an easy thing to do. It was not a... Let me tell you something. Abraham has a real shift in his outlook and his attitude because of one thing that occurs here. He was not jumping up and down. He was not rejoicing and jumping for joy and glad and happy prior to something occurring here. He could not get happy. Listen to me very carefully. He could not find relief until he laid his darling, his beloved, down on that altar. And you know why he found relief, don't you? It's because he saw the Lamb. When he laid down his beloved, when he laid down his darling, it equipped him and enabled him to see the Lamb of God. But Abraham did not just go blindly up there thinking, well, no, I guess this is all over with. This is going to be the end of it. No, if you will remember what we read, it says that Abraham, first of all, earlier in the chapter, it says he rose up early and saddled the donkey and got busy and moved out. That's an act of faith right there. And it says as he took the wood and he took the knife and he took the fire, the torch in his hand and said, "We will go up yonder to worship." He didn't say we'll go up yonder to have a time that's just no fun and there's nothing to it. It's not something we can enjoy. No, he said, "We will go and worship." He said, "I and the lad will go and worship." And as they went, the lad, who was probably 14, 15, 17, the lad who had been brought up in a household that understood the true worship of God, it says that he looked at his father and he said, "Here's everything we need, Father, but where is the lamb?" He knew that there was a lamb that had to be sacrificed. And Abraham made that statement of faith. He was not jumping for joy at this point. He was not glad at this point, but he made that statement of faith and he said, "Son, God will provide himself a lamb." You see, that was a statement of faith. And not only that, he also told the servants, did you notice the language? Whenever Abraham said, "Abide ye here with the donkey," he said, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Do you hear that? He said, "Me and the boy and I, we will come again to you." And all this was tied into Abraham laying his beloved, his darling, his irreplaceable thing, on the altar. You see, our Isaac is something we won't lay down. It can be a lot of different things. You might also look at it in a couple different ways. It can be what we would call a prop. You ever been propped up? We have a lot of props in our life. It can also be described as a stronghold that you may have. In 2 Corinthians, it says that the Lord's weapons, the weapons of the Lord, our spiritual warfare is not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, we all have these strongholds that we build. They can be a lot of different things. And we begin to see what they are and how much they mean to us when they are gone, do we not? And time and life has a way of pulling those props out from under us, don't they? Oh, I can tell you, when I was a child, there was nothing sweeter. There was nothing greater than going to my grandmother's house, my grandmother McCool's house there. I love going to both of my grandmother's house, but I happen to be nearer to grandmother McCool's house. There was nothing that delighted a little boy more, and there was no greater prop or stronghold that I had in my life than going to that house, entering that door, smelling those smells that were in there of her cooking, and enjoying her sweet fellowship and her kindness and her humility and learning from her. There, I thought that was just the ultimate for me as a little boy. And growing on up, and when I had to go away to college and different places I went, I always thought back, you know, I've always got that place to go to. I've always got my grandmother. I felt the same way about my parents, but I'm just using my grandmother as an example, because that prop was taken out of the way. It was taken from me several years ago when she passed from this life. And yet, as I was growing up, it was such a prop to me. It was such a dependence that I had. It was such a joy. The taste, the sounds, the experience, there was nothing to compare to it. And I never found anything out in the world that could ever compare to that. But it was taken from me. You see, I must say that I'm so glad that it wasn't taken from me when I was 5 or 6 or 7 or 9. My grandfather, we lost him when I was 12 on the McCool side. But those things become props to us. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying your grandmother, enjoying your family. But if that becomes the ultimate thing, if it becomes something that I cannot live without, that I have crossed the line into something that is sin. You see, family can be the prop. Friends can be the prop. Oh my goodness. You look online or you look on somebody's Facebook and they've got, you know, 1,000 followers or whatever. I mean, and honestly, you know, those followers are not really friends, okay? They're just followers. But you think about what a race there is for that kind of thing today. Oh, I've got to get this many followers. I've got to have this many friends. As long as I've got my little group that I interact with right here, which really is nothing more in many ways than or can become a clique. But as long as I've got this and I'm interacting with so-and-so and they're always there and they're always going to, you know, tell me what I need to hear or give me what I need. I need what I'm getting out of them. You see, that can become something that becomes the ultimate thing. That, I believe with all of my heart, that in the days of social media, that is a lot of God's children. That is a lot of their Isaac right there. Lay that down. Oh, how could we survive if we didn't have our phone anymore? I can assure you, you would. How can you survive if you didn't have that account anymore? Or that Instagram, or that Snapchat, or that Facebook? What if I didn't have, oh my goodness, if I didn't have that Twitter account and all those followers? I mean, you think about how popular Twitter has become. And I remember one of the brothers came up and said, after President Trump went into office, you know, he does this Twitter thing, you know, I'm not on it, but I remember a brother, I can't remember who it was, but he came up and he said, I heard from Donald this morning, you know, he's one of 30 million that's hearing from Donald, you know, but it makes you feel special, you know, and he was joking, of course, I heard from Donald. I was like, Donald who? Donald Trump, you know, I'm following him on Twitter, you know. It makes you feel special that somebody's following you or you're following them. It makes you feel like that's something that you have to have. You see, those kind of things can become our Isaacs. What about children? Oh my goodness. Several of us among the congregation, some of you have already experienced this, some of you older ones experienced it long ago, but several of us recently have seen children exit from our houses. And it's not in and of itself. I mean, it could be a bad thing if they were exiting with the wrong person, right? But it's not in and of itself a bad thing, but it's a different thing. It's something different. It's something that it's just different. And I honestly wasn't prepared for it. Personally, I'm thinking, well, everything will be okay. I'll just make it through this with the breeze. And I did pretty well for the most part. But I can remember y'all would have laughed at me and called me crazy on that Friday night before the wedding was on Saturday. And the oldest one, dear Sister Madison, I'm so glad she's not here this morning so I can say this, but she takes longer to get ready for bed than Grandmother Springer did. Those of you that know Grandmother Springer know exactly what I'm talking about. And so I was so tired that Friday night, but I said, this is my last night to put that girl in the bed. I did it since she was just small enough to hold and cradle in my arms and rock her to sleep. This is my last night, so I'm in there just, whoo. Man, I need to go to bed. I need to get some rest. It's going to be a long day tomorrow. And I waited. Have you brushed your teeth yet? Yeah, I'm almost through. Have you taken your makeup off? Yeah, I'm almost through. I almost gave up. I even went downstairs a couple times. But I managed to slog back up the steps, you know, with half-opened eyelids. And finally, she's ready for bed, you know. And I thought, you know, this is something I've never experienced before. This child that I have loved unconditionally since she came into this, before she came into this world, I'm putting her to bed in my house for the last time. And I tucked her in, and boy, she was just sobbing. I wasn't really sobbing, but she was, "Mom, Daddy, it's the last time." Blah, blah. You know, she was sobbing, and I tucked her in, got down on my knees, and put my hands on her. I prayed for her, and I just thanked God. I said, "I thank God this is a great opportunity that I have here. Thank God that I'm delivering her to someone to be cared for, Brother Heath, with someone that will care for her. I've never experienced that before." And you know, in a sense, that, and those of you that have experienced that know what I'm talking about. Though there's older ones here that say, "Yes, I remember years ago when I did that," or maybe not too long ago. You know what I'm talking about. In a sense, that is a laying down of that Isaac on the altar, because I've got to let her go. In a sense, I don't have to cut the family ties. I don't have to cut relationship, and I don't have to cut fellowship. But it's different. And that's something, if that becomes the ultimate thing, that it can overwhelm us to the degree that we become comatose, or we become unable to operate, unable to do things. You see, children can become our Isaacs. And literally here, Abraham, Isaac was his Isaac. You get it? Abraham had to literally offer his son on the altar. Hobbies can become our Isaacs. I mean, you know, it's nothing wrong with going hunting. It's nothing wrong, ladies, going shopping. I heard a funny joke yesterday. It was a good joke, and Dad will remember this one, but the old comedian said, you know, that marriage, for a man and a woman, marriage is like a workshop. He works and she shops, you know? I thought that was pretty good, you know? I mean, there's nothing wrong with shopping. There's nothing wrong with hunting. There's nothing wrong with, you know, I can't believe I'm going to say this, a limited amount of playing golf. There's nothing wrong with playing tennis. There's nothing wrong with the sport. There's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. But when they become the ultimate thing, then we have an Isaac on our hand that has to be laid on the altar and has to be sacrificed. Now, this may be a little touchy, but you know, there are many people that are propped up on their fear. They are propped up on their anxiety. There are those that are propped up on their anger, their malice, fill in the blank. Did you know that those can become props? And if I don't hold on to my anger, I just won't be the person that I need to be. Or if I don't hold on to my jealousy, or if I don't hold on to my anxiety and continue to fear everything that comes along, then I just can't be the person that I need to be. You see, they become to be identified by those very things that are propping them up. And instead of just being something that props them up, it identifies their character, you see. There are those that prop themselves up on drugs and alcohol. There are those that prop themselves up on relationships, upon sex, upon fornication, upon pornography. You see, until the prop becomes what the person is. Are you listening to me this morning? We all have them. We all are prone to be propped up by something. You understand now? That's why Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, "Lean not to thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not." Prop up. Don't prop up yourself on something that the world gives you, or something that you have a personal desire for, or some emotion that you have. But prop yourself up on one thing, the thing that Abraham propped himself up on, and the thing that Abraham saw. When you don't withhold your darling, when you don't withhold your prop, when you don't withhold your stronghold, when you don't withhold your Isaac, here's what happens. They came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. In verse 10, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand." Can you imagine the tears that were falling from Abraham's eyes as he looked upon his only beloved son, his only darling, and he had laid him on the altar, ready to sacrifice him and then burn him, and knowing that he'd already told the men that, "I'm coming back, we'll be back." Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord, which was a pre-incarnation, I believe, of Jesus himself, he's calls unto him out of heaven and he says, "Abraham, Abraham," you hear the urgency in the voice of God? Abraham's got the knife here. He's ready to slay his son. He's not withholding Isaac from God, because he knows that Isaac belongs to God, that he came from God, and that he'll go back to God. He's not withholding his darling, and he raises the knife, and the urgency of the Holy Spirit of God himself says, "Abraham, Abraham." And Abraham says, "Here I am, here am I. Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for I know that thou fearest God, seeing you have not withheld your son, thine only darling son, your beloved, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and he beheld behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered the ram up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Let me tell you what happens whenever you don't withhold that darling. Maybe your darling is anxiety. Maybe your darling is alcohol. Maybe your darling is your darling, your own spouse. Maybe your darling is your friends. Maybe your darling is your clique. Maybe your darling is some emotion that you're having. Maybe it's your job. Maybe your darling is your anger. And whenever you withhold it, you will not see what Abraham saw. But if you lay it on the altar, as he laid it there, as you take the knife and sacrifice it to the Lord, he came to the place called Jehovah Jireh. Abraham called this place Jehovah Jireh, and the name Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah of course means God, and it means in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So Abraham saw something because he was willing to lay his beloved on the altar. He saw something that nobody else could see. And he called the place appropriately Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And it also means Jehovah will see to it. Listen to me now. Listen to me carefully. When you lay your darling and your beloved down on the altar of God's love, he says here that Jehovah will see to it that you see Jehovah. That's what that means. You will behold the Lamb. When you lay your thing that is precious to you down on the altar of God's love, you will see something that no one else sees. And Abraham saw the Lamb of God. Abraham saw the day of Jesus is what he saw. On the mount with the wood and the fire and the knife there, the knife of God's wrath eventually on Calvary. As you look and you lay down the things in your life, as you lay down your darling, you will see Mount Calvary. He will appear to you. He will show you through the eye of faith what is the ultimate thing, and that is Jesus Christ. Abraham saw Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord, it will be seen. Jehovah will see to it. Isn't that good? You good old Baptist, I know that's good lingo for old Baptist, isn't it? Jehovah will see to it. What about my salvation, Brother Tim? I've been propped up on my works all of my life. I've been propped up on my acceptance. I've been propped up on the things that I do. I've been told that that's what I have to prop my future on. I'm here to tell you that the Lord has seen to it. Jehovah has seen to it. The Lord has seen to it on the cross. And when you look by the eye of faith, after you sacrifice those works and you lay them down on the altar of God, and they will not deliver you to heaven, you can see Christ. He has delivered you to heaven. Behold the Lamb. You will see something that no one else sees. Jesus himself referred to this in John 8:56. As he was there debating and arguing with those wicked Pharisees who could not see this. They would not lay down their pride. They would not lay down their works. Oh, may we never fall into that category. And they argued with the Son of God. And they said, "You can't be who you say you are." I'm paraphrasing, of course. "You can't be what you're proclaiming to be." And Jesus looks at them and says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he was glad when he saw it." The word "rejoice" right there means to jump for joy. Abraham jumped for joy. Can you see him standing there? That altar built and the fire, the wood laying on the altar, the fire burning over here. And Isaac was laying there bound on the altar. And the Lord says, "Wait, wait. You haven't withheld your son from me. You haven't withheld your darling from me. You haven't withheld your beloved from me." And Abraham looks around. I can just see the old man. He's 100-something years old. I can just see him see that. He looks back and he sees the lamb and he goes, "Whoa! Hey, I jump for joy. I don't have to kill my son. I don't have to slay my son." That's the beauty of it all right there. That's the beauty that when you lay it down, the Lord's already paid for it. And Abraham jumped for joy. Do you notice how he went from the glum, anxious, burdened man that he was, "God will provide himself a lamb, my son," to rejoicing, jumping for joy. Why? Because he did not withhold his darling. He did not withhold his beloved. Come lay your darling. Come lay your beloved on the altar of God's love. Is it a phone? Is it a hunting desire to go hunting? Is it a shopping? That's all you want to do is shop. Is it a spouse? That if I can't keep this spouse, then my life cannot be valid. My life cannot be the way that it should be. If I don't have this boyfriend, this girlfriend, this spouse, these children, oh, they've got... Listen, all those things, one way or the other, they're going to be taken. One way or the other. When you come and you lay your darling on the altar of God's love, and you offer up whatever your Isaac is, here's the sweet truth of faith. The Lamb will appear. You will see the Lamb. The Lamb will come, and you will see. I want to leave you with this. Jesus had one prop left. He had one prop left on the day that he went to the cross. You know who stood by him, and you know who he referred to often in his life. My Father, my Father, my Father. My Father sent me to do His will. My Father is greater than all. My Father, He brags on His Father, His dad. He brags on Him. And Jesus, that's a prop that Jesus had. And when I say prop, it doesn't mean that Jesus had no hope without leaning on that. He is God. He is the Father. He is the Son, okay? But in His humanity, He referred to His Father. My Father this, my Father that. And then He comes to the cross. All the props were out. He's hanging on the cross. As the knife of God's wrath fell upon him, what did he say? My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All the props were gone. And as he burned in the oven of the depravity and evil works of man, and he roasted in the judgment of God upon our sins, as the knife of God fell upon him and all the props were gone, and he hung, as we say, suspended between heaven and earth. He's the only one. All of our hopes and our future are upon him as he bore his cross to that place and he burned in that wrath. He cried out, "It is finished." All the props were out. Consider Jesus, who bore that wrath, who laid everything down. And never again, as I have done, look at this example of Abraham as something, well, that just doesn't really apply to me. We all have our Isaacs. What is yours? Do you know it? If you're sitting there this morning, you say, "Well, I'm glad I don't have an Isaac." I'm sorry. You got one. You just hadn't come across it yet. It's there. It's there right now because we all have them. Lord, show me what my Isaac is. Show me what is more precious to me in this life than anything else. And Lord, by the work of faith and by the example of Abraham, encourage me to lay that down. Lay down my anxiety. Lay down my jealousy. Lay down my anger. Lay down my spouse. Lay down my children. Lay down the alcohol. Lay down the drugs. Lay down the fornication. Lay down whatever it may be that is our Isaac. You will see the Lamb. You will see the Lamb of God.